Good morning and welcome. I just want to say one announcement. We had about seven people out here yesterday doing the leaves, and I want to thank everybody who came out. And of course, now with the wind, that side is all covered again after it was cleaned up yesterday. Today we have with us Fletcher. I'm not even going to try and pronounce your last name right now. We got his name from Peter Burrell. Peter Burrell is the minister in the Woodstock Reformed Church. So Fletcher is here today to lead the service, and he was brought here by his chauffeur, Pastor Bruno. And Pastor Bruno has been here a couple times preaching, and he was our supervisor there a couple years ago. So I just want to welcome Fletcher, and he will introduce himself a little bit more and say more about himself, take a couple minutes so everybody gets to know who he is a little bit better. So again, I just want to say thank you to Fletcher, and it's yours right now.
It is a great honor and privilege to be here with you this morning. 3 months ago, I received an email that asked me if I would be available to lead the service here today. Of course, I had no idea about this congregation and Whitby. We are new to Toronto, my family and I. We came to Toronto in December of last year. I was born in Malawi. That's my original home, and grew up there in the Presbyterian Church that has its roots in the Dutch Reformed Church of South Africa. And so some of you perhaps might have some connections in South Africa. The Dutch Reformed missionaries from South Africa came to the part of Malawi where I was born and established a mission work there. And as a result of that, many people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and my father and my mom were among those people. My father is a minister also of the gospel in Malawi. He served there for over 40 years, currently officially retired, but still preaching and serving in different capacities in the church there. I was trained for the ministry at Westminster Theological Seminary in California. So some of you might know something about that seminary as well. And graduated in 2008, and I was called to go to Vancouver to pastor a Scottish Presbyterian church. So a guy from Malawi serving in Canada in a Scottish congregation. This is what God can do, and now here we are. And I look forward to what God is going to do for us, through us this morning, through his word as we worship together. I have with me in the balcony two children, Kara and CJ. And so maybe after the service you see them running around. Let us now prepare our hearts and turn our hearts and our attention and our focus to the Lord. The call to worship comes from Psalm 100, and I'll read the normal print, and you can respond by reading the bold print. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, sheep of the pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Thank you. For those of you in the balcony, I forgot to give my children a bulletin. It would be helpful if somebody could help so they can follow along, please. Thank you. We're going to sing now to God's praise, Psalm 23, which is 694 in your hymnals, in your books. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. We're going to sing that, and let's stand, please, if you're able.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. For our prayer confession, we recite that prayer together. It's printed in your bulletin. Let's confess our sins before God, who is merciful and promises to forgive us through Christ Jesus. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen. Amen. And the Lord is good and gracious. He loves to forgive. And in Joel chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, the Bible promises us, assures us of forgiveness through Christ. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. And that is the good news of the gospel, that in Christ Jesus, all of our sins have been forgiven. And I'm always encouraged when I reflect on the words from Psalm 103, that God has separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And that is a wonderful blessing in which for which we are to be thankful each and every day. For the catechism, as we seek to confess our faith and also find a foundation for our faith, there's question one here from the Heidelberg Catechism. I'll read the question and we can all together read the answer. What is your only comfort in life and death? But belong body and soul, in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid. Amen. Isn't that wonderful that we have that wonderful hope, whether we live or die, that we belong to him and God belongs to us through Christ, that we've been united with him forever. Amen. Let's pray together. It is good to be in your presence, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, and your grace, which sustains us each and every day. We bow before you in holy adoration at your great and majestic name. Great are you, O Lord, and greatly praised are you to be. Thank you for each one present here this morning. Thank you for a wonderful week that you gave to us. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for sustaining us by providing everything we have needed thus far. And thank you for the privilege to be gathered in this building together as your children under the banner of Christ Jesus to worship you and to hear your word, to fellowship with one another and to encourage each other in our most holy faith. We pray that you may build us up today and encourage us to walk more humbly with you, to lean more heavily upon you, and to trust and obey your word. We pray that you may attend to all of our various needs and ailments. You know each one of us where we are. For those struggling with sickness and pain, physical pain of any sort, we pray, O God, that you may attend to their need, that you may be that ever-present help to them in time of distress. For those struggling with financial needs and constraints, we pray, O Lord, that you may provide as only you can. For your word assures us that you will provide for us all of our needs according to your glorious riches in Christ. For those struggling with particular sin, recurring sin, we pray, O God, for victory and for breakthroughs, that by the power of your Spirit, the bond of sin and the power of sin may be broken in their lives, and that they may be free to live and walk in the fullness of Christ day by day. We pray for this city, we pray for this province, we pray for this nation, and all our leaders. May you grant them divine wisdom and moral courage to stand up for what is right. We pray, O God, that the Church of Jesus Christ throughout Canada would stand out and be different, be separate from the world. For you've told us we are in this world, but we do not belong to the world. So we pray, Lord, that your light will shine ever more brightly all across Canada, from northeast, from the north to south, east to west, that Christ may have dominion over this nation. And we pray for all the countries of the world, especially in those places where your children, our brothers and sisters, are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. In places like Somalia, Sudan, Nigeria, China, and several other places unknown to us. Oh God, we pray for your Spirit to sustain and encourage those who find themselves in difficult situations because of their faith in Christ, and that they'll be given the courage to stand and not give up or give in. And help us, oh God, not to become too complacent because of the freedom that we enjoy here in Canada to worship you. Help us and make us ever more vigilant to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Keep us faithful until that day when Christ will come and present us before your holy throne, pure and blameless, spotless because of his sacrifice. Be gracious to each of us, pardon all of our sins, bless us and make us a blessing to others. For Jesus' sake, amen. Song of Praise, number 682. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. We're going to sing that together to God's praise. If you're able to stand, please stand. I apologize if I made anybody feel awkward. I'm used to just standing every time we sing, so learning. It's now time for us to open the Word of God, and I pray also that we'll open our hearts. Our consideration this morning will be Psalm 23. I'm going to read the chapter, and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing before we proceed. Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1 to the end, verse 6. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word to each of our hearts, to the praise and glory of his name. Let us pray. Open the eyes of our hearts, O God, that we may be able to see the wonderful things that lie buried in your word. May you make your word alive to us, we ask, and make us alive to your word. Show us ourselves and our need of you, our sinfulness, and show us Christ, our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a hymn that I've come to love over the years. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. Does anyone know that hymn? I love to tell the story of Jesus. Yeah. And every time I'm given the privilege to stand before God's people and proclaim the word, I get excited. Because there's nothing better. This is our life. This is the bread that we need for our souls. And so as we begin, I ask each one of you to open your hearts and ask the Lord to minister to you, to meet you at your point of need, whatever that might be. Sometimes you don't even know what you need. But I pray that by his Spirit, the Lord will make that known to you and that he'll meet that need today as we study the word together. This is a very familiar psalm to all of us, especially those who would have grown up in the church. And many of you, I'm sure, have memorized it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to try to embarrass anyone, but I hope you have memorized it. If you haven't, I would commend that to you. It would do you much good. This is a psalm for life. And I mention that deliberately because in many situations, it seems that a lot of Christians and even pastors, gospel preachers, they will often turn to this passage at funeral services. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's the only time we think that this psalm applies to our lives, then we're wrong. This was written to be a guide for life. Just to maybe give you an example, if you look at verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So this person is actually alive. He's not, you know, he's living and going through life, understanding that God is his shepherd who provides everything that he needs. And this is to guide us in our day-to-day journey, in our day-to-day pilgrimage towards home. For this world is not our home. We are just passing through. And as we pass through this world, we are going to encounter and face all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of situations that will be difficult for us to navigate on our own. And we need this good shepherd. the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful thing to know that we have Jesus Christ for our shepherd. One who laid down his life for us, willingly so. He was not coerced, he was not forced. He chose to lay down his life for his sheep. In John chapter 10, he talks about that. That I lay down my life of my own accord. No one takes his life away from him. He did it on purpose, laid it down, and then he also took it up again when he was raised on the third day. And he's a shepherd who so loves his sheep that he will not let any single one of them perish or go astray. He will go after them, he will pursue them, he will go into the hardest of places, in the valleys, in the mountains, to seek and save his sheep. And I pray that those of us here today and those who perhaps will be listening to this message later on know something of this shepherd in a very personal way. That you, I, all of us can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's not just a shepherd who is there at a distance, separated from us. He's personal to us. He's my shepherd. He belongs to me as much as I belong to him. I've owned him for my shepherd, and I therefore have chosen and made the decision to live my life in submission to his guidance, leadership, protection, and provision in my life. This was David, and David, who was a shepherd himself, knew what he was writing here, because he, as a shepherd, had experienced what it means to have sheep, to herd sheep. And sheep, as wonderful as they may be, they are not the easiest animals to tend at times. They're not the wisest. Often making decisions that would harm them. Very vulnerable, very insecure. They need to be tended with love and care and thoughtfulness and purposefulness and individuality. Each particular sheep might have different particular needs. And David, if you know anything about his story as a shepherd boy, knew this from experience, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words, not only for himself, but for the church throughout all generations, that would remember how good, how caring, how kind, how compassionate our God is in Jesus Christ. What I would like to do as we move forward is to just focus on a portion of this psalm. In the second verse, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. This is something that inevitably is true in the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. Among all the other things that a good shepherd would do for his sheep, as I've already alluded to, one of those things is to lead them beside still waters, where there is calm and quiet, where they can quench their thirst and be nourished and be refreshed. This is what the good shepherd does. And the sheep follow wherever he is leading. And so I've entitled this message, "Where He Leads, I Will Go." Where He Leads, I Will Go. And we're going to look at this from perhaps a very different point of view. We're going to look at a different twist on how that might apply to us. And I think all of you know this very fact, that God wants to lead us as his sheep. He wants to lead us beside those still waters. He wants to guide us in the ways of righteousness. He wants us to follow him wherever he's taking us. And that he is one we can trust because he always has our best interest at heart. Can I hear an amen for that? Thank you. God in Christ always has our best interest. But the question I want us to answer this morning and to wrestle with is this. Will we always be ready and committed to follow him wherever he may choose to lead us? Are you prepared to follow Jesus Christ wherever he chooses to take you? Because you trust him to be that good shepherd who has your best interest at heart. I ask that question because often, especially in reading a psalm like this, we just think it's all kind of going to be nice and mellow and we're going to live happily ever after, you know, with Christ. But there are times when the Lord Jesus Christ will take us and lead us to hard places. Not to destroy us, not to harm us, but to build us up, to transform us that we may become the kind of people he wants us to be, the kind of sheep he wants us to be. And in those times, I ask, how will you respond? How do you respond? How have you responded, perhaps, in the past, when you knew so clearly that God in Christ was calling you and leading you to a particular direction that didn't seem to be all that glamorous, and that there would be a very high cost on your part if you were to follow him in obedience? We hear many, many stories of great missionaries who have accomplished great things for God in obedience to his calling upon their lives, feeling led to leave their country, for example, go to a foreign land unknown to them. They don't know anyone there. And they uproot themselves from their loved ones, from their homes, from their countries, and they go. Fully convinced, this is God's leading for me. My shepherd has called me, or shepherd is leading me to go and serve. But along the way, troubles hit, tragedy hits. There are many losses, losing even loved ones, losing children. You think of the story of Eric Liddell, or Eric Liddell, as some will say, from Scotland. A young man who had everything promising for him, a great athlete, who had won the Olympic gold medal in, you know, as one who was like very fast. But he left all of that, went to China to serve as a missionary. And a lot of people thought he was just foolish man. Nobody does that. But he was convinced this was God's calling upon his life. What was life like for him in China? Was it easy? Not at all. He suffered so much loss, so much pain that was very deep and personal. And yet, we can say the Lord was leading him. The Good Shepherd was with him. And he could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I, one day is coming, for sure. One day I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that your hope this morning? Can you really say that? Because while when we think of the picture of still waters, this picture speaks of peace, tranquility, harmony, joy, stillness, right? But the Christian life and our experience is not always like that, is it? Often we find storms, everything falling apart, and we feel like we're losing ground. Does that mean the Lord has stopped leading us? No. But in his divine wisdom and mercy, he chooses to come into our situations like that and give us peace. Many of you might know that hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roar, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." But I don't know how many of you know the story behind that hymn. That hymn was written by a man named Horatio Spafford, who was an American, lived in Chicago, a very prosperous businessman. And he was very good friends with Dale Moody, Ira Sankey, those evangelists in those days. And at one time, they were going to go to England, to the UK, for evangelistic crusades, and he was going to join them, he and his family. But because of business commitments and engagements that he had, he chose to send his wife and their four children ahead, and he was going to meet up with them 2 weeks later. So he took them to the ship and said goodbye to them, and they were on the journey to the UK. And then suddenly, at sea, the four daughters drowned. His wife was miraculously saved, even as the ship sank. And on the other side, she sent a cable to him, "All lost, saved alone." That broke his heart, knowing that he had lost his four daughters. He got on the ship to follow and meet up with his wife. And the story goes that as they were passing by the very place where his daughters drowned, the captain of the ship pointed that to him. And sitting in his cabin, he wrote the words of that hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Why? How could one do that? How could he write those words? The loss was real. The pain was deep. I think the answer to that, the clue to the answer to that question, lies in the third stanza of that hymn, if you know it. "My sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul." And this is what makes a difference in the life of the believer when we're going through storms. When life is not going the way we want it to go. When everything seems hopeless and hope seems to be lost. We have something that we can always hold on to. That is the assurance of forgiveness, assurance of salvation in Christ. That not my sin, all of it, not just part of it, my sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and I no longer bear my sin, because Christ bore my sin on that cross. In my place, condemned he stood, and he sealed my pardon by his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior we have. And that can take me through anything in life. Wherever he leads, therefore, I can say, I will go. Because he is with me. And that is what makes all the difference. In this psalm, the key to really understanding the heart of this message is in verse 4. Hebrew poetry is different from English poetry. Let me just take a few moments to explain that before I make the point. In English poetry, the climax is always at the end, isn't it? We kind of build on to the climax. In Hebrew poetry, the climax is in the middle. The main point of the poem is always in the center of the poem. And here in this poem, we have in verse 4 those words, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." And then this is the middle piece that is so important, and this is the key to understanding Psalm 23. "For you are with me." And so you can reread this psalm as follows. Listen carefully from the beginning. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, for you are with me. He makes me lie down in green pastures, for you are with me. He leads me beside still waters, for you are with me. He restores my soul, for you are with me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, for you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, for you are with me. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows, for you are with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, for you are with me. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, for you are with me." Is that helpful? You can now begin to see what David was trying to say. It is the presence of God that makes all the difference in our lives. And therefore, wherever he leads us, we will go because we know he is going to be with us there. The will of God will not lead you wherever he doesn't go with you. He will not lead you anywhere where he will not go with you. This is why Moses, if you remember, in Exodus chapter 33, he says, 32, 33, says, "Lord, if your presence does not go with us, what? Do not send us from this place. I'd rather stay put here if your presence, if I don't have any guarantee that your presence is going to go with me. But if your presence goes with me, then send me anywhere you want. And I will go. Because I know I'll be okay. I'll be safe in your hands." Safe in the hands of Jesus. You know that hymn? Safe on his gentle breast. We can rest. This is a place of quiet rest for us and for all who are in Christ Jesus. And I hope that is a place of rest for you as well. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious Father, we thank you so much for the encouragement we find from your word. A word is living and active and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces to the division of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. It discerns the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts, that everything is laid bare before you, our God, with whom we have to do at the end of this life. Thank you for how you lead us. And even when you lead us in the hardest places, we will go because we know you've promised to be with us. Strengthen us, we pray, as we go into this week. Go with us and use us to be a blessing to those that we come in contact with each and every day. Keep us in your love, we pray. And oh, how we long for that day when we shall see you face to face in all your fullness and glory, when Christ shall present us before your holy throne, pure and blameless, without any spot or wrinkle. May that day come quickly, O Lord, we pray. Hasten that day, we ask, and until then, keep us from all evil, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I notice you do the benediction before the closing hymn. I'm used to the opposite. So please stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And now we're going to sing our closing hymn, He Leadeth Me.